Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, you've come to the right place. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
Same to you, Marty. I'm doing fine. How's your week going?
Good, good. Perfect weather here in Pennsylvania. You know, we've had really great weather, and, so everything's going great.
Yeah, it's a nice time of the year. My favorite time of the year, I think we talked about that last week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I know your kids are playing soccer now, you know, so keep them busy with that. So I guess there's always something going on in the Johnson family, isn't there?
Yeah, I always look forward to that now. They're in, you know, they're in kindergarten, going to school. It's a whole big thing now. They got a big school, and they get on a big bus, and now they're playing in a little town soccer league. So, yeah, a lot of new stuff happening over the
last few weeks. Grown up on the show, if you think about it. I mean, starting it 3 years ago, you know. I mean, they were babies when they when we just started the show, and then look at now, they're in school and playing soccer and scoring goals, right?
Same with your son, yeah. His kids are doing pretty well so far. It'd be funny, soon before we know it, we're talking about them going into college.
Exactly, you know, and we'll still be doing the show, right?
We're approaching
our 2000th show. Or our last show, Don, we met with Greg Haskett of Home Team Inspection Service Franchise Opportunity, and I thought it was an interesting franchise opportunity. This isn't just another inspection service, is it?
No. No, I really enjoyed the show. It's a nice low investment service franchise. I like not only is the word team in their name, but they really do have that whole team concept with their franchisees, with their corporate office. And I mean, it's really an important service. I mean, a home is one of someone's largest investment they're going to make.
Exactly.
And it's so key to make sure they're not making a mistake and buying something that's going to be a problem later on. So the home inspection service is just so important. So it looks like they know what they're doing, and I'm sure they'll continue to grow.
Yeah, I think it gives you comfort when you have a whole team of inspectors coming in the home, doesn't it? I mean, again, when I've had my home inspected, you know, it's always just been like one person coming in. I know if I had to use a home inspector again, I would definitely call their service. I like that whole concept of a team coming in together. It just makes me feel at ease. You know, you got four people kind of going through the whole home, and it gets done a lot faster, too, doesn't it?
Yeah, the first time I'd heard of that, because, yeah, you are just used to the one person coming in, and I like how there's a couple people, a couple sets of eyes. More of a chance you're going to not miss anything in the home.
Absolutely. He's been with them for a while, too, hasn't he? I think it was like over 10 years or 13 years he's been with the company, you know? So you can tell that he definitely believes in the service, so I thought it was fantastic. So
used to watch Disney and Nike. He had a pretty nice background.
He had an interesting background, didn't he?
Yeah.
So that was fantastic. So what do we got going on today, Don, and over the next, I'll tell you what's going on next week.
Yeah. Well, Nancy's coming on in a few minutes. Nancy Weingartner, executive editor, Franchise Times Magazine, and Dan Frey, CEO of the Glass Guru Franchise Opportunity. So it should be a very interesting show.
Exactly. And we're also having some franchisees to the Glass Guru as well, Damian Williams and also Wendy Williams, I guess husband and wife franchisees, you know. So that's fantastic. That's always a lot of fun when we have franchisees on the show as well.
Yeah, hear their story. How did everything come about? What they do before starting up the franchise? So, yeah, it should be nice.
Exactly. Anything going on in I know you got a trip next week, don't you?
Yeah, next week I'm going to be exhibiting the Diamond Financial at the West Coast Franchise Expo.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be at the LA Convention Center October 2, 3, and 4. So, been at that show a few years.
That's a fun show, isn't it?
Yeah. People can just go online and the West Coast Franchise Expo to get all the times of the show. It's one of the biggest shows of the year. Not crazy about having to fly from New Jersey out to LA, but other than that.
I know it's a long week for you. You're working on weekends, and when you get back, I guess you're right back to the office, aren't you?
Right. Yeah. You work hard at these shows. You're talking to a lot of people, seeing clients. You're doing a lot of standing on your feet.
Exactly.
So, but that's the way it goes. The shows are important. I get to see a lot of clients, pick up some new customers.
Absolutely.
And I get to see a lot of friends, so I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, absolutely. It's like a reunion, isn't it, when we go to things?
Right. Yeah, I mean,
I look forward to the
one. You only get
Washington
to see people a few times during the year, so.
Right. And then you always get to see some new franchise opportunities as well, so that's always interesting, too.
Yeah, that's what I always like, just to see the pulse of the show and different franchise companies. I get to see a lot of my supplier and vendor friends who I advertise and promote my services through.
Exactly. That's good. Any stories in franchising?
Yeah, here's something, Marty, New York Post. I like always mentioning this franchise because you at one time had interviewed Jared Foley from Subway. This is an article, Subway Bites into McDonald's. Watch out, mm-hmm. Ronald, Jared's about to eat your lunch. How's that for a way to start? As McDonald's slows down its growth in order to focus on store profitability, Subway appears to be taking the opposite tack, opening stores at breakneck speed and closing in on the golden arches in the process. According to the latest stats, Subway is expecting to reach 31,800 stores this week versus the 32,158 that McDonald's has worldwide. In the U.S., Subway has nearly 23,000 locations. Subway, which has been opening about 40 stores a week. Isn't that incredible? That's worldwide. Opening 40 stores a week on average has been on a growth tear since the early 80s when it had fewer than 200 stores. By 1994, the chain had about 10,000 locations.
Yeah, that is incredible.
But while the chain, which features a guy named Jared who claims to have lost a lot of weight thanks in part to a diet of Subway sandwiches, I even read his book, I think you did too. It's really an incredible story, may soon eclipse Mickey D's. In the store count department, McDonald's continues to reign supreme when it comes to revenue. According to food industry research outfit Technomic, the average McDonald's generates $2.3 million. So one McDonald's location on average in revenue for the year, $2.3 million, while Subway is about $445,000. That's a big difference. But these are obviously two of the top-rated franchises. Matter of fact, through Entrepreneur.com, it was Subway 1, McDonald's, too, as far as their list of the top 10 franchises for 2009. Then Liberty Tax Service, number 3. Sonic Drive-In Restaurants, number 4.
Yeah,
Intercontinental Hotels Group, number 5. Ace Hardware. Then Pizza Hut, UPS Store, which is also has some units through mailboxes, et cetera. Then Circle K, which is a convenience store, number 9. And then Papa John's Pizza Franchise, number 10.
That's great.
Just to give a list of some of the top 10. And then I have some other stats, Marty. Franchise businesses have made major contributions to the economy, including generating more jobs between 2001 and 2005 than several of the nation's major economic sectors. In 2005, now it's a few years now, they operated over 909,000 establishments, provided 11 million jobs. It's more than 8% of private sector employment, contributed over $278 billion in payroll. And franchise businesses account for nearly 50% of all retail sales in the U.S. It's a major stat right there. The IFA has reported that franchising is responsible for 760,000 businesses, 18 million jobs, 14% of the private sector employment, and over $500 billion in payroll. And according to latest estimates, there's over 5,000 franchisees available in 75 industry categories. Did I put you to sleep, or are you listening to some of this? From January 2000, 2004, the index that tracks the performance of the top 50 franchisors increased 34.5%, Marty, compared to a drop of 20.1% in the S&P 500 over the same period.
Mm-hmm.
And a study by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce found that 86% of franchises opened within the last 5 years were still under the same ownership, and 97% of them were still open for business.
Wow, that's amazing, isn't it?
That's an amazing stat.
That's incredible.
I think I lost you there for a second, right?
You did. I changed it. Why don't we bring Nancy in? If you're a frequent listener to our weekly radio show, then you know what fans we are of Franchise Times Magazine. And I recently stated, I think it was on last week's show, that it's the only magazine I can read from cover to cover. And so we're excited to have Nancy Weingartner. She's the executive editor of Franchise Times Magazine. And Nancy's going to discuss what's new in franchising and what stories she's working on for next month's edition. Hey, Nancy, how you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome, Nancy. Nancy, I think you know my co-host, Don Johnson.
Yeah, we've met
a
few times at the show. Nancy, how are you? Are you going to be out in L.A. Next week?
No, I'm not. Mary Jo and our new salesperson are going to be out there, but I am staying back in the office.
Oh, good.
Good. And you guys are pretty much every major franchise, so Franchise Times is always there. And handing out the magazine, speaking to people. And Nancy, I'm not sure if Marty's told you, but, you know, your picture is on the home page right now of Blog Talk Radio for the show as we speak. We have thousands of people across the U.S. who want your phone number and want to date you.
So
you might be
like
getting
that,
some phone calls later, Nancy.
Oh, geez. Nancy, we always like to ask our guests, you know, how did you get involved in franchising? Like, what were you doing before joining Franchise Times?
Well, actually, it's funny. I'm an English literature major, and so that's why I'm always putting Shakespearean references into headlines and story leads and,
right.
and talking about irony. But I got involved in journalism actually when I was in college. I started working for the local newspaper and kind of did it on and off, a lot of community newspapers, which is why I like the people stories so much. And my husband's company, we were living in San Diego, my husband's company got bought, and we moved to Denver. And I started working for Continental Franchise Review, which was a serious newsletter that covered franchising and just did really small little blips. And I didn't really think I was going to stay very long because I really, you know, I like the people stories. But I loved the people in franchising, and it was a great experience. And Continental Franchise Review got bought by Franchise Times Magazine, and they kind of inherited me along with that. I was in Denver and they're in Minneapolis. So I worked as a freelancer for them for a while. I was on staff for a while. And then I started flying up to the Twin Cities once a month to help with the, you know, final putting the magazine to bed. And they asked me if I would move here, and my husband agreed because his company had a division here. So we ended up about, I think it's been about 7 years moving up to the Twin Cities, and I've been the managing editor and then executive editor.
That's fantastic.
Which is actually the same job, just different title.
Yeah, we always enjoy your articles, of course, Nancy. Always, you know, your staple is always the one at the end of the magazine, one of the last pages. Is that what you enjoy writing the most, probably?
I do. I really do. It's a lot of fun, and I really appreciate the fact that they give me so much license with it. So it is fun to do.
As a matter of fact, Marty, you always get the magazine. You go right to that back page, don't you?
I usually do. I start from the back, Nancy. I didn't say that. I start from the back and I go work my way towards the front. So.
I like to hear that.
But it is fantastic. Do you have a favorite story since you've been with the magazine?
Oh,
I mean, I have my
favorite
stories that you write.
Oh, thank you. I don't know. Every story I think I write, I like. I like the one about the African story with the franchising over there helping people bring health care.
Yeah.
I like the one, Ron Gardner, the cover story about he's a franchisee attorney, and I just loved his story about everything that he went through. But I think it's the people stories that I really enjoy. There's so many characters in franchising.
Well, I was just going to say that. There's so many entrepreneurs. It's such an interesting, growing industry. There's always... I mean, imagine you always have something interesting to write about. You're right. There are a lot of characters. Maybe Marty and I are, you know, two of them.
That's right.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I think entrepreneurs tend to be optimistic, and they also they have interesting hobbies. I guess since franchising makes people a lot of money, they can afford to have fun hobbies to write about.
Anything new or recent trends, Nancy, in franchising?
Well, I think what everybody is talking about, of course, with the economy, franchising has slowed down. There's a lot fewer franchises starting. We just got some stats from Frandata that we're going to have in the November issue that people just are not starting franchises right now, and growth is slowing down. But I think it can also have kind of a positive effect because I think a lot of franchise systems are going back in and looking at what made them strong and maybe how they might have wandered away a little bit more, and they're looking at unit economics and getting some more marketing programs down to their franchisees training. So I think even though you can't really say it's a positive time, I think a lot of positive, creative ideas are coming from this.
Right. It's a good point. I guess franchisors are going back to the basics, and maybe they're finding stronger franchisees with so many more people around the country being laid off, downsized, and now have to decide on what to do, and they're going into franchising. But, yeah, you're right, less franchises being sold, and I guess there's probably more lower investment franchises that are the ones that are being bought. That's what you're seeing as well?
Yes, exactly. A lot of home-based ones, and a lot of service industry ones, things that you wouldn't really think would be franchised. Those particular ones were the niche ones, I think, are what are strong right now.
Right. So what else, Nancy, is coming up in the next month's edition? I guess the November issue of Franchise Times. What else is going to be some of the highlights?
Well, we're going to look at IFA's 50 years in existence and at the same time kind of look back on franchising over the last 50 years. And it's really kind of fun. An attorney, Lane Fisher, has a wide collection of all this antique artwork and ads and things. And one of them, he sent me a McDonald's manual, and I think it must be from the 60s, early 70s.
Wow.
And it's so much fun to look through. McDonald's probably wouldn't like this, but they had one of their directives were that women could not be employees. Only men could work in the stores.
Oh, my God.
And the only exception was franchisees' wives and daughters, but they had to wear white.
Oh, that's incredible.
And I'm trying to figure out why they had to wear white. And then there was another one, a holiday. There was an article at the cover of Time, I think, where they were talking about Holiday Inns. And one of the policies in 1972 was if an unmarried couple came and registered, you would only have to turn them away if they were a local couple in the community.
Wow.
And I think that is so funny to think. 72 doesn't seem like it's that long ago.
Yeah.
And that kind of brings a new idea to the fact of wanting that local, you know, person owning the franchise so they would know who wasn't married in their community and be able to be the moral police.
Well, that should be interesting, going over the last 50 years. And I know from time to time, sometimes Franchise Times will pull out or do a follow-up on an old story from the past or show an old logo or commercial or ads for an older concept or franchise. I always like that.
It's amazing because to me, 50 years, maybe I'm showing my age, it doesn't seem like it's that antique, you know, that long ago. But things have changed dramatically for women, for minorities, and for franchising because it's really gotten a lot more sophisticated, a lot more systems in place, and it was a great idea that just, I think, keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's amazing how much you've personally gotten done, Nancy, at the age of 29. So
I know.
There you go.
Nancy, we have I'm about at that age where I lie about my children's age now.
There you go. Nancy, we have about 60 seconds. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on Franchise Times? Can they go to a particular website?
They can. They can go to www.franchisetimes.com, and we only put up part of the content from the magazine. But they can also subscribe there. They can send an email, and we can send them a copy if they want to check it out and see if they're interested in it. And we always are looking for stories, too, so anybody can email me story ideas.
That's
at nancyw@franchisetimes.com. And we really like to hear from readers, so it always is nice to either drop us a line by email or however they want to talk to us.
Yeah, it really is an incredible magazine, and it's you know, a privilege for Don and I to speak to you because, I think I was saying to you, last time I spoke to you, Nancy, is I feel like I know you, just through reading, your articles all the time, So when I see you, you'll get a big hug, don't
well,
push me
I'll
away.
I'll expect it.
All right, Nancy, it was great to talk to you. And say hello to everyone at the staff at Franchise Times, and we'll be speaking to you guys next month.
All right. Thank you so
Thanks
much.
Thanks so much, Nancy. Have a
Good
great day today.
Take care.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Big mouth.
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth Advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchise entrepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Dan Frey, who is the CEO of the Glass Guru Franchise Opportunity. We also have the privilege of meeting with two franchisees, Wendy and Damian Williams, and they're from Colorado Springs. Hi, guys. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hi,
there.
Good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Guys, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson, and I know you wanted to say hi, Don.
Hi, everyone. We appreciate you coming on and looking forward to hearing about everything to do with Glass Guru. So we're very excited about having you guys on today.
Thanks for having us.
Dan, I thought I could start with you and ask where you're calling from this morning.
I came in early this morning. I'm at our corporate headquarters in Roseville, California.
Wow, you sure did come in early.
No problem.
That's fantastic. And Wendy and Damien, are you guys, you're in Colorado Springs?
That's correct.
That's fantastic. That's great. And Dan, I'll start with you on this question. What were you doing before joining the Glass Guru?
Sure. Well, prior to the Glass Guru, I spent about 4 years with a boutique venture capital company raising startup capital for small businesses all across the country, United States and Canada, and it was actually in the tail end of my career in that business that I first learned about this new repair process being used in Canada to restore failed dual-pane windows.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And Wendy and Damon, how about your background before becoming franchisees? What were you both doing?
We were doing door and window installations, so it's kind of an easy transition for us.
Right. Was that your own business or working for someone?
Well, we had our own business, and we had a contract with some of a large box supply home improvement store.
Okay. And Dan, tell us a little bit about the history of the Glass Guru and then when you started franchising.
Sure. Well, I'll try to sum it up as quickly as possible. After learning about this unique money-saving and green technology being used up in Canada and seeing how quickly the technology was spreading through a dealership program up there, we began researching the potential here in the United States. And really not knowing much about windows and glass at the time, my wife and I started talking to friends and neighbors and acquaintances, just asking people, have you ever seen a foggy window in your house, and have you ever had to replace one for that reason? And we also talked to some glass shops. It turned out they were dealing with the problem every day. Some of the window cleaners we talked to said not a day goes by that they don't come across the problem themselves. And we actually had the problem in our house a few years prior, but it was just one. So we really had no idea of how large of the scope of the problem was. But the more we researched, the more we found that it was just a very, very common problem. We even talked to some people who had to replace all the glass in their entire house because of seal failure. And we started to recognize how huge of a demand there was in the United States that could be filled with the repair. So in October of 2004, we originally launched out of our garage, my wife and myself, and we were under the name The Glass Wizard at the time. And we, at that time, became the first company in the United States offering moisture removal for failed dual-pane windows. To say that things took off quickly, I think, would be an understatement. We were on a major shoestring budget at the time, but some good guerrilla marketing tactics helped us to create some awareness in our market. And I just say that the market really responded to what we were offering. We were able to offer people a repair that could save them about half compared to replacement glass. Not only that, we were able to bring back the clarity of their window and bring the insulation back to within a normal range. So it was really a win-win situation for us and our customers. And we ran with the moisture removal process for about 6 months before we added any other services, at which time we started looking to expand our base. And we added the new services of professional scratch removal for glass as well as professional stain removal, each of which had their own niche in the market. Then in our second year of business, after getting tired of passing on all the windows that weren't good candidates for repair onto other glass shops in our area, we added the replacement services ourselves, taking on a glazer or two, and starting with new glass, but ultimately expanding into screens, mirrors, shower enclosures, then ultimately windows and doors. And at that point, to our knowledge, we were the only full-service glass and window company in the country offering the best of these new cutting-edge restoration services as well as the traditional replacement services, really making us a one-stop shopping solution for our customers, which didn't previously exist.
Yeah, I think that was a no-brainer, very smart.
Yeah.
A lot of times, Dan, is it the quality of the window or the seal that causes people having to use your services?
Well, I'd say it's a real combination.
Yeah.
Windows do vary in quality, but ultimately, every dual-pane window at some point is going to fail. If it's in the sun on the south or southwest side of the house, it might fail faster than others because of the exposure. But ultimately, the rubber or the sealant compound around a window, which is trapping the air inside like a jar, it's going to weaken at some point and allow inside air to escape out and outside air to escape in. And that's when people start seeing the condensation.
Right. So and Wendy and Damien, is that why you were attracted to the Glass Doctor, the Glass Guru, because of the full service aspect of it?
Yeah, we don't mention the D word. Yeah, exactly. We were an installer for a large box store, and when we were originally from California and moved out here to Colorado, the window business was a lot more competitive, and we were actually looking to get out of it. And we came across this idea, and I mean, I saw it so much. So many of the windows we were replacing out here really didn't need to be fully replaced. It just had, there was condensation between the glass. And when we came across this solution, it was really a great idea for us to get into.
I'd say we spent about a year proving out our model with the full service concept prior to even considering franchising or any other avenue. But we got to the point where we were having great success despite the kind of learning the business the hard way, not having anybody to train us.
Right.
And we recognized that with such a huge market out there and so much potential for these services in other areas, there must be other people out there looking for a good business opportunity themselves who weren't looking to go through all the trial and error systems creation that we had to go through ourselves. That's when we started considering other ways to expand outside the Sacramento area. And franchising just really called out to us. After about a year of consultations, meeting with lawyers and attorneys, getting our paperwork prepared, we launched our franchise program in January 2007. And 3 years later, here we are with 35 active locations, adding one to two more every month. And we were very optimistic about the future for the Glass Guru and our franchisees.
That's fantastic.
And I was, you know, very smart, obviously, franchising the concept with the strength and history of, the franchising industry. That was probably not too fun a process going through all that with the FDD and the attorneys and all that and the cost. You know, was that a fun process, Dan?
Well, fortunately, we had a successful business to help you know, get there. We didn't raise outside capital. We were 100% self-funded, and it was a challenge.
Yeah.
Like I said, we were on a major shoestring, but we knew that this concept had such great potential that we had to see it through. We had to find some way to get through that period. And, it was challenging, definitely, but absolutely worth it.
That's great. And how do you describe, Dan, like, when you're describing the franchise system for the Glass Guru, like, when you were talking to Wendy and Damien, like, mm-hmm. for the first time, what do you typically say to an aspiring entrepreneur looking to buy or consider your franchise opportunity?
Well, we talked to Damien and Wendy very early on. I believe they were our third franchisees who came on board with us. And honestly, since then, we have learned a lot about franchising and how to promote the opportunity. Nowadays, I tell people that although we're a service-based organization, it really is a people business when it boils down to it, and glass and windows are just our product.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to although we attract people like Damien and Wendy from the trades, we also attract plenty of people from white-collar backgrounds, people with corporate backgrounds, other business owners. In fact, our top producer out of Columbus, Ohio, he's an accountant by trade.
Wow.
And we're a very tight-knit organization, and we want to keep it that way. We stay in constant communication with our franchisees, providing them with as much support as we can, and we really consider them partners in moving forward with our business and building our brand.
That's great. I think it always says a lot, too, when an accountant buys into your system, because they analyze those numbers, you know, and they say, wow, this
Absolutely.
Makes sense, you know,
Absolutely.
So that's fantastic. That's great. Has technology played a role in your franchise, Dan?
I'd say it's been huge.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a rare event when somebody has an opportunity in their life to capitalize on a new technology that ultimately will become common practice before everybody else is doing it. I like to equate our moisture removal service to what paintless dent removal was like maybe 10 or 15 years ago. And that process has completely revolutionized the way people look at repairing dents in their cars, very similar to the way that our moisture removal process is changing the way people look at repairing their windows. So this is a new technology. We were the first company in the U.S. We're also, promoting these new technologies in the area of scratch removal and stain removal, which many people don't know exists as well. And, a big part of offering these services was developing the technology behind them to make them possible. One of the first things we had to do to be able to offer moisture removal was design a functional vent, which took some engineering. We did try a couple different types. It was something that I had drawn up from scratch based off of what we'd seen being used up in Canada, but we did develop our own unique design, which we have a patent pending for today. And without that vent, which we apply to the windows that we treat, it wouldn't allow for them to continue to equalize and keep them moisture-free for the long run. So we are definitely very dependent upon these new technologies to allow us to do what we do in these areas.
Could moisture happen, Dan? Is it more happen in cold weather or hot weather?
You know, it's interesting. We actually see pretty consistent percentages of failures across the country, whether you're dealing with homes in San Diego, California, or Colorado Springs, Colorado, or Boston, Massachusetts. Like I said, every sealed window at some point is going to fail. And
right.
Some might take longer than others, but eventually the market's going to catch up to a similar percentage. Of what we found is roughly 6% per year, which, you know, in a market with millions of people or even hundreds of thousands, amounts to a lot of windows, either way you cut it.
And Wendy and Damien, what attracted you most to the Glass Guru? Was it, you know, it's a newer franchise, and, you know, sometimes there's pros and cons to investing in a new franchise, but I guess you already being in the industry and seeing that Dan and, you know, what he created and the services. I mean, what was it specifically that really, you know, sold you on the franchise?
I would say, I mean, originally with just the new technology and, you know, I've always been kind of attracted to, you know, things
right.
that are a little on the different side than the norm.
Uh-huh.
So that was, you know, the beginning part of it.
Right.
The other part was, you know, the first few discussions just was Dan, you know,
yeah.
his demeanor and the way that he just handled himself and wasn't a hard sale. You know, I did my homework and I talked to some of the other businesses that were out of Canada, and I honestly didn't like what they were selling. You know, I didn't like the used
right.
car salesman tactic that they were using trying to sell me a franchise. And,
right.
You know, so those were the main things. And, just the whole idea of being able to go and do something that nobody else was doing in my area and still that no one else does other than us.
Well, we really saw the potential, too, for it. You know, nobody here was doing it. And, you know, Damien was seeing fogged windows all the time. We really saw the need for it here and a great opportunity. And like Damien said, Dan and Joy really had a lot to do in making the decision.
That's what's so great about our show, Marty. You know, I mean, this is our third year. We've done close to 150 shows, all different types of franchises. Here's a franchise for servicing glass. You think there's only a problem when it breaks, but there's
right.
all kinds of other issues and services. So it's, you know, it's quite interesting. You know, people listening probably would never think of opening a glass franchise, but such a niche business and a needed service.
There's something, Don, that you know, Wendy and Damien were saying. You know, what I like sometimes about, say, like a smaller system is I think sometimes the franchisees have a little more input too. You know, I mean, for Wendy and Damien to be able to speak to Dan, who's the CEO of the company. I think that doesn't happen a lot of times with, like, your bigger systems. Like, you know, if you're a McDonald's franchisee, you can't just get the CEO on the phone just like that, or if it's Yum Brands, you know. So I
right.
think there's a lot of advantages to, you know, working in that kind of system. I think it's fantastic.
Good point. And being in on the ground floor. We're always asked, what's the best franchise out there? I believe it's just something you have a lot of room for expansion, and it is a niche service that really not too many other people mm-hmm. are doing. So, yeah, you know, definitely a lot of positives taking that angle. How big is your industry, Dan? You have any specific numbers?
Well, I've got some general numbers. The glass industry itself, just replacement glass around the country, is a multi-billion-dollar industry.
Yeah.
You add windows and doors, and that's its own multi-billion-dollar industry, so we do it all. Restoration is really a new industry. We're creating it out of scratch where it didn't previously exist. So it's hard to quote numbers in that area, but we really are creating a new industry that wasn't there before, offering people new services that they weren't previously aware of. But you look around you, and you pretty much, I've heard that glass is the fourth most common building product in the industry, And, you know, every home, every building has is full of windows, doors, screens, shower enclosures, mirrors, tabletops, all services that we offer and provide and can help people either repair or replace.
What's the breakdown of, you know, between residential and commercial? I imagine trying to speak with local builders, contractors could be a source of business, right?
Absolutely. We stay out of the track home, new construction type jobs because the margins are very slim in those areas. But custom builders, custom homes, architects are definitely big markets for us. You know, we probably average maybe 5 to 10% commercial work compared to residential. And certain services are more attractive to commercial businesses or property owners than others. For
right.
example, our moisture removal is you know, most often applied to residences because that's where they use dual-pane windows. But many commercial buildings are still using laminated single-pane glass, and they're just not going to fail. But
right.
businesses, on the other hand, see graffiti and types of situations for scratch removal that a lot of times you won't find in homes. So our scratch removal service probably sees the opposite percentages, maybe 80% commercial and only 20% residential.
Dan, Wendy, and Damon, we have to take a quick break. Can you guys stick around for another segment?
Sure.
Sure, absolutely.
Fantastic.
We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Sounds good.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews. We're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're speaking with Dan Frey, who is the CEO of the Glass Guru Franchise Opportunity. And we're also meeting with franchisees Wendy and Damian Williams from Colorado Springs as franchisees. And, Don, I think I'm up. You know, I guess I'll go to Wendy and Damian. What's a typical day like for you guys as franchisees? If there is such a thing.
No typical days.
No typical. The phones are ringing. Damian's going out and doing estimates and doing moisture removal jobs and glass replacements. We have a showroom where we have windows and other products available to try out and view. It's usually kind of hectic here.
I imagine. Well,
that's a good thing.
And Dan, talk to us about training a little bit. How's that process for the franchisees?
Sure. Well, we have a one-week training program here at our headquarters in Roseville. We really cover every aspect of the business, leaving no stone unturned. As an operating Glass Guru office, we really give our franchisees an experiential learning experience where they're seeing us work with actual customers going out on estimates, on real-life jobs. So it's not just a theoretical training. We try to get them as much real-life experience as possible.
Yeah.
And we start our franchisees out with the basics, really just what they need to be able to get the business off the ground. But our training really never stops. In fact, most of it probably comes after the initial training as we continue to coach our franchisees on how to get the most out of their business as they develop it.
Wendy, Damian, what were some of the best practices you learned and gained from going through training? How was that whole process for you both?
You know, it really was a great process since we came from the window business, but I never really replaced glass. You know, there was a few times that I had replaced IG units in a window when actually breaking a window while putting it in. So learning all of that really helped. And actually just basic sales techniques, too, of going out. I mean, even knowing I was out there as a front person, you know, for this box store, but we never really sold it. We just went out and measured and estimated what it would cost and give it to them, and they would deal with the customers. So learning to actually deal with customers and right there on the spot and actually coming up with a number for them right there, too. You know, it's not that you call them back later. It's right, you give them the estimate, here's the price, and try to, you know, land the whole deal as you're there in front of them. And that definitely helped out a lot.
And, Dan, did you tell them that there'd be no typical day, being a Glass Guru franchise?
Well,
he may have felt like it was easy, like the money would just flow right in.
Many of our franchisees, like Damian and Wendy, start out of their house, which we actually encourage because, you know, there's no point in spending additional overhead on a lease until you have the revenue to support it.
Right.
And there's plenty you can do out of your garage or out of your home building up to that point. Many of them also start as one-man shows or working the business with a spouse or a partner, as Damian and Wendy did. But the idea is to help them move beyond that as fast as possible, get busy to the point where they simply can't do everything themselves. They have to delegate tasks out. They have to bring on employees. And most of our franchisees, as the business develops, I think, find themselves moving into the role of being the estimator for the business, going out, meeting with customers, as Damian does on a daily basis, building relationships, shaking people's hands, really letting people know that we're the one-stop shopping solution they need for all their glass and window needs, and you know, really focusing on promotions and building the business rather than doing all the field work themselves.
Right, working on the business, not in it. And I'm
Absolutely.
Sure you saw some very strong qualities and characteristics in Wendy and Damian to become successful franchisees. You know, what are you know, some of those characteristics that you're going to be looking for, you know, as you add to the team and more franchisees?
Definitely. Well, We obviously want people who are teachable and not inclined to want to try to recreate the wheel themselves, people who can follow a system,
right?
People who have a very strong desire for success and are willing to do whatever it takes to make things happen. As great as our products and services are, this is still a business. It still takes a lot of work. And just like anything else, you get out of it what you put into it. So we look for people with a very strong work ethic, people who have had successes in the past. not necessarily in the trades, but successes anywhere in their career. If they've been successful with one thing, hopefully they can carry that through and apply those same principles to what we're offering here.
So not really looking for a background in business ownership or sales, which really helped, you know, Wendy and Damien. We're looking for that sales training.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so you don't require some of that, just people who want to succeed, follow a system, or teachable. I guess
that's
those
right.
Are the main.
We have franchisees that come from all different walks of life. It's amazing when you look at our organization and see the diversity of people within it. One of our local franchisees in this area, who got started about a year ago, came out of a career with Hewlett-Packard after 36 years.
Right.
And
wow.
then you've got people like Damien and Wendy, who came out of a similar industry.
Right.
People like our guy in or our franchisee in Columbus, who was an accountant by trade. So there really is a huge amount of diversity within the system. And, you know, I think that really adds to the organization, having people from so many different backgrounds who are able to contribute. We hold conference calls and do training calls on different topics at different times throughout the year, and we actually had one last night on marketing. And it's great to be able to get input and feedback from people from so many different backgrounds and what they've learned and how they can contribute to the greater organization by sharing their experiences.
Good.
And Wendy and Damien, do you guys have any, like, advice? You know, Don and I have seen, you know, we've been doing the show almost 3 years now. We've seen a lot of husband and wife franchisees. Do you have any advice for our listeners who are husbands and wives considering going into franchising from your experience?
I think one of the things that works really well for Wendy and I is that our abilities and the things that we do are really are different.
Right.
You know, Wendy's, you know, great with ordering things, the computer, scheduling, and all that kind of stuff, where that isn't one of my best things. My thing is, you know, I know what it takes to get the job done and you know, dealing with people and getting out there and talking to customers and figuring out what it is, you know, they need and
exactly.
What they can afford and all of that. So we both have two different kind of styles of what we can do, and that's what I think works best for us. Because we're not kind of really stepping over each other, trying to tell each other how to do their end of the job or their end of the business.
Which was nice, too, is that you both planned on working the business. A lot of times a husband and wife are investing in a franchise. One spouse might only be moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, obviously both have to be on the same page as far as being able to make the investment.
Yeah.
It was great that both of you were going to be involved in working the business. So really there was no, you know, issues. But who's the more important person of your team, Wendy and Damien?
I would say Wendy.
I say Damien.
All right, you got a good marriage going on there. Okay.
Dan, we have about 3 minutes. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on becoming a franchisee?
Well, we've got a lot of information on our website, www.theglassguru.com.
Okay.
On that site, they can listen to testimonials from other franchisees who've had great success with the system, as well as learn about all the products and services that we offer.
That's great, and it is a fantastic website. We'll also post that up, by the way, on our website so our listeners can get more information on that as well. And Wendy and Damien, I also want to thank you guys as well. You've been fantastic guests, and we'd love to have you guys back in the near future.
Oh,
keep up the good
so
work.
Having us on.
Yeah, thanks, Dan. Thanks, Wendy. Thanks, Damien. You guys have a great day today.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, everyone.
Too,
good job. Keep up the good work. Take care.
Good show, huh, Don?
Yeah. Interesting. Like I mentioned in the show, you know, that's what's nice about our show. We have such a wide variety of different business opportunities.
And lots of information. I love, you know, I love the story of Dan, like, you know, how he just started the whole concept in the garage, you know, similar to Microsoft, you know.
Right.
And just amazing. You know, you look at the growth, and they're not getting too big too fast, which makes me very comfortable.
Right.
I, you know, sometimes I'm a little more partial towards the smaller systems, you know, to have the ability to be able to speak to the CEO, you know, so
right.
Damien and Wendy can just call up and talk to Dan if they want to, you know, you don't get that sometimes with these huge systems like Subway, like, you know, trying to call Fred DeLuca on the phone, you know, it's
right.
Not so easy. I mean, they're busy guys, you know, dealing with thousands and thousands of units, so,
I'm sure Dan would love to have hundreds more of the Wendy's and Damien's out there. You know,
oh, absolutely.
Franchisees.
You know, and it's interesting diversity, too, you know. But, yeah, when I hear, you know, accountants are bought into the system. You know, that always makes me comfortable, because these are guys who analyze income statements and balance sheets and cash flow statements, so that's, I think that's great, So next week we're having, you're going to be in California, Don, right? We're going to have a senior care franchise opportunity symposium. It's going to be a two-hour show, and we're going to have three senior care franchise opportunities on the show next week for our listeners, so it's going to be a good show. So you'll be there in spirit, though.
I'll be there in spirit, and I'll be spreading the word further about franchise interviews. And
great. I want to thank Nancy Weingartner again today. If you're still listening to the show, thanks for coming on today, and we're going to have them back next month, are we, Don? So tell our listeners what's going on with Franchise Times Magazine.
Yeah, and what's coming up on the next issue. Very exciting, and people, go ahead and give out the websites.
Exactly. So good job, Don, and for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, gofranchise.com, franchisefunding.net, and we'll see you next week.
Have a good day, Marty. Thanks.
You too, Don. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.